It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like adultery. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love the lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We begin hour two, or we ended hour one, hearing from the Texas coach, DeMeco Ryan. So he talked about his love of CJ Stroud, and they still believe in him, but he knows this team needs to improve. We'll see if he differs from Nick Caserio in his approach to, at least his, how he talks to the media about their approach, because Nick Caserio's been very open about how he doesn't think you need to really worry about the offense. Well, what does DeMeco Ryans think they need to improve on? Here's DeMeco Ryans on that.
Where are the areas that you're focused on in terms of maybe improving the roster?
Yeah, for us, it's for the offensive side of the ball. We're looking to improve, you know, at the offensive line position. To start there, we're looking to improve our running back position as well. We have a lot of areas of room to grow and improvement, and you know, we have the cool part about it is we have room to improve, and we have a good core of guys.
That's for sure.
And so to improve the depth of our team here at, you know, with this draft, I think it's going to be really vital for us, and we're going to find some really good prospects. Having the meetings we've had already throughout the combine week, it's been great. Great young men, excited to see how.
So you heard DeMeco focus exclusively on the offense, despite his GM's assertion that they got a lot of good football players. Now, DeMeco did clean it up. If you were a player for the Texans on offense who felt a little insulted by all his talk about improving on that side of the ball, he did clean it up by going, hey, we're just going to add to all our good players that we currently have. And Sean made a face when the interviewer goes, yeah, that's for sure. I don't know who it was, but I saw your face. It's the same thought I had. I just didn't make the face. Okay, sure. If you're thinking about the defense, then of course you can say that. But his focus was the offense.
I was making the face like Ashu. Like I was making the face to DeMeco saying it. And okay. Then she added.
Then she cherry on top.
Uh-huh.
You're like, what? What? Uh-huh.
What is going on?
Guys, we see.
Did I wake up in 2011 when they had a bunch of good offensive players? They just need depth.
Like I take DeMeco's. The final stuff, DeMeco Ryan's final stuff he said about the offense as him just, hey, guy's already there. I'm not killing you. But you heard him. He mentioned running back. He mentioned O-line. He knows. He's not blind.
Yeah. Hey.
There are premium players on defense that you can count as foundational pieces for the next 3 to 4 years. On offense, you may have one. And I say may because the volatility of wide receiver, who knows if – we don't see Nico Collins as this type of player, but generally receivers are volatile in their approach and their attitude, and a lot of that has to do with the money they're being paid. And Nico Collins is one season away from renegotiating anyway. So his initial deal was only for like 3 years. There's some void years at the end of it, but after 2027, he'd be an unrestricted free agent. So a new deal has coming for him probably sooner than you think. But he doesn't fit the profile of the let's just say diva, because that's the word people drop on wide receivers. But offensive line, running back. We talked about it earlier because I think it was Mel Kiper who had the Texans taking Jadarian Price. So that's right in line with DeMeco's talking about. Of course, the Joe Mixon mystery continues. But also offensive line, you heard him. We saw at the end of the season, particularly against the Patriots, The offensive line could not hold up. The interior was a big issue. And a player that one ESPN contributor thinks could help is probably the most expensive interior lineman on the market, Tyler Lindenbaum. He says he's a perfect fit. Aaron Schatz, I think he was once a Football Outsiders, but now he's with ESPN as they gobble up anyone and everyone who talks about football. Tyler Lindenbaum is the choice. Incumbent Jake Matthews ranked last among qualifying centers with a 92.4 pass block win rate. So this is a position where the Texans need to take a big swing, bringing over Lindenbaum, who ranked second at center with a 97.2 pass block win rate, would really help solidify the offense and keep Houston as a Super Bowl contender for 2026. I think we have mentioned Linderbaum's name in passing already this week as a, well, yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, for the article, like the setup of the article, yes, he would be the best fit. Also, would be hard to actually, never mind like actually getting Tyler Lindenbaum to want to sign his name on the dotted line.
To come play for the Texans.
To like make the money work, and you know, obviously it's the NFL, so like all money is fake.
You can do things.
Yeah, but even under that, it's like, it's hard to see, and it is kind of the one shot, one opportunity to get a really like top line offensive line player on the offensive line this offseason for the Texans. So it's, yeah, would be sick. You know, it's like, yeah, it'd be awesome to get him. It really would. I'm just not sure how realistic it is.
So a couple days ago, Eric DaCosta, general manager for the Ravens, said, at this point in time, we've made him a market-setting deal proposal offer. Hopefully we can get something done with him between now and the start of the new league year. So the Ravens want him back. Their general manager is telling us they're paying him, I guess, more than they've paid anyone's ever paid a center. If we go market setting, if I go by my interpretation of that.
That's what I think he wants us to believe.
Whether that's true or not, we will see. You would think, of course, if Lindenbaum was happy there and he wanted to play under Jesse Minter as his head coach, that the market setting deal would be enough for him to stay.
And this is something they did last season with Ronnie Stanley, too, where it's Ronnie Stanley, best offensive lineman on the market. He's, you know, the Chiefs should go after him, fix their offensive line, yada, yada. You know, anyone that needed to fix an off, he needed a tackle. And on March 5th, he signs with the Ravens.
Yeah, so this very well may be something where Lindenbaum just, we hear, deal at the start of the legal tampering period. Or maybe even before. I'm not sure how it works when you were already on the team. But we hear a deal very early in the process that he's back. So that $18 to $20 million per year the Texans were squirreling away,
yeah,
that they made moves to potentially pay Lindenbaum, won't even be able to get offered. We know there's a money crunch because everyone believes Ed Ingram has played his way out of here because of all the money he's going to make at $12 to $15 million a year. Now, Lindenbaum has been a more established pro. So maybe the Texans wouldn't be willing to give Ed Ingram that type because maybe even in their own minds, they kind of see it as a mirage that he played that well. Who knows? And Lindenbaum would be someone who's done it year after year and they would be willing to go that high. But $18 to $20 million per year, good luck. Good luck with that. But this show stance is if you had to pay for something, it would be the O-line. We would rather have you pay for that than try to fix your issues during the draft. I just don't think top of the market center money is something that the Texans are going to be willing to give up.
Yeah, Linderbaum's the only one where it doesn't feel like you're trying to get Ed Ingram part two, where it's a little bit of a, you know, distressed asset. Another team, I mean, for the most part, if an offensive lineman's hitting the market, it's like either he's trying to set a new record for his position or it's a team that's had him and decided, we can move on here. So, yeah, it's almost like Astros with pitching, except that the Texans have so much less of the track record. Actually, Ed Ingram's kind of the only track record that they have of, like, it might be better for them to just try to find the next Ed Ingram. Just try to, like, hey, we, you know, fix this guy. We fixed Kikuchi. Now we try to go get next Kikuchi and don't pay, you know, the top of the market that we helped him get to, or not even top of the market, but, you know, double digit millions of dollars. It's like, yeah, we did that with Ed Ingram. Now, congratulations, Ed. You set up your family for life. Now we, you know, we're trying to make someone else's dream come true.
We're dream makers here in Houston.
Yeah, and teach them how. And again, the Astros have done that for a decade or so.
Yep.
With multiple pitchers. The Texans have done it with Ed Ingram. So it's a little bit different, but it's the same principle of, like, it might be better off just to, like, find this year's Ed Ingram than to pay last year's what he's going to get on the market.
So you mentioned the Astros. It was MLB Network's time with the Astros yesterday, so we'll hear from Jose Altuve when we get back. But before we do that, and that will be our final segment before Michael Carroll joins us, I want you to picture, well, everyone to picture, but you in particular, Sean, because I can see you, picture this. Which is funnier to you, considering I started the NFL conversation with the Ruben Bain stuff? Which is funnier to you, Ruben Bain with Tyrannosaurus Rex arms photoshopped onto him, or the Batman character Bain with little arms and being called Ruben Bain? Which one's funnier to you? You picture them.
I think Batman Bain with Batman. Little arms.
Okay,
it's a little fun.
Okay, so that is out there. That is the conversations regarding one of the top prospects in the draft. The memes are flowing there.
Again, he's going to be like a top 10, top 8 pick.
But with small arms.
At least when Kenny Pickett had small hands. Like, he had notably small hands. Like, I remember that.
Well, these arms are, well, at least they're notable to any person who has been judging edge rushers.
But the Kenny Pickett thing, like, I remember when that draft was 22, I think, draft. Like, we at the station measured our hands. And I had bigger hands than Kenny Pickett.
Because the hand thing is some. Because Kenny Pickett is of normal human size.
Yes.
He's not this behemoth pass rusher like Bane. So you can do, he's taller than me, but he's kind of a normal size. Yeah. Let me see where my hands are.
Yeah, and my hands are bigger. Like, yeah. I don't have longer arms than Ruben Bane. Like, that's the thing. It's like, with Kenny Pickett, it's like, yeah, wait, so you really have some tiny hands.
Yeah, that when I have bigger hands than you, and yeah, I am not I'm going to be a future NFL quarterback.
No chance that either of us are going to be a franchise solution.
Well, he had a chance because he got drafted, but at the end of the day, yeah, very little chance as it turns out.
He had a better chance.
Because he was actually in the NFL, but realistically, the Steelers might as well have drafted you.
That would have been so sick.
It would have been sick. All right, we'll go to break with that. You can call in, 713-780-3776. We'll take your calls. We'll get to Clint Capela responding to DeAndre Ayton. If you missed that story, we'll get to that. And then we will hear from Jose Altuve as well. We'll do all that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Look at you guys. We're going to get to the Astro stuff, and we got calls. So we got to put that to the side. Three callers up there right now. Our intern, thanks for getting that done. And he was a little confused because one caller identified himself as Nick Caserio. I mean, the GM of the Texans has never called this show before, and I imagine that still will be the case after we talk to this person. What's up, Nick Caserio?
How you doing, man? First thing I wanted to say was I love the show. You guys are doing a great job. I mean, unless I'm listening to another radio station, unless I was listening to two completely different dudes talk, you guys are doing a great job. Yeah, okay. But I really wanted to talk about the roster construction and the offense. I mean, I don't really understand why we get so much flack on our offense of roster construction. I mean, we have so many good players. I mean, I could list them from top to bottom, the great players that have on this team.
Go ahead.
Nico Collins.
Okay.
You know what, though? We're not worried about it, so you shouldn't be worried about it. But the main thing I wanted to talk about was the quarterback. C.J. Stroud, I mean, come on. I mean, after this playoff run, he is a top, maybe even two quarterback in the NFL. I mean, was I watching another tape? I must have been watching something completely different if C.J. Stroud isn't the cornerstone piece of this franchise. I mean, I just don't understand the hate. I must have been watching something different. You know, I just don't get it.
What do you think of him as a person?
He is a great person. He has awesome hair.
Oh, look
and
at that.
Yeah, he has a great haircut. I mean, he's going to be throwing the ball a lot better with no more long hair. I mean, come on, Dale. Seriously, I know more football than the city of Houston will ever forget. You've seen the way I dress out there at training camp. I look like I'm about to go out there and grab me some reps. I mean, are you serious? I know how to build a roster, okay? So I'm just sick and tired. I wanted to come on here. I wanted to defend myself. I just wanted to say, go Toro.
Yeah, when I think of a guy ready to get reps, it's wearing a vest in 80-degree weather. Thank you, Nick Caserio, for calling in.
Yeah.
You did only name the one great player on offense, but...
And a great guy.
Yeah, great guy, great player, Nico Collins. You know, we don't hear a lot of how great of a guy Nico Collins is. Yes, I wonder why.
He's a great guy.
I'm sure he's a great guy. But you know who never leads that? No. D'Amico or Nick Caserio? I wonder why. I wonder why they don't lead with great guy when they talk about Nico Collins for some reason.
Did you just shout great hair?
I wonder why football people don't lead with great guy when they're talking about great football players.
Yeah. Nick Caserio wants to touch C.J. Stroud's hair.
Yeah. Sean and I, during a break, were discussing the fact that C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young were both at the Clippers game, sitting next to each other. Now similar haircuts.
Yeah. And that we were...
They look like Duke from 2015 in some ways.
We were trying to figure out whether we like that he has the same haircut as Bryce Young or don't. And
they might as well just morph into each other, honestly, because the divide between the two gets smaller and smaller. We used to have a big lead. Now it just keeps shrinking. So they might as well start to look the same.
And it kind of feels like they're just like, they're not even really meeting each other. It's just CJ's just kind
it
of
keeps like Bryce is improving
and like bumping up
in increments, and CJ's from year one is descending at a rate we don't like.
No,
so he's going to meet Bryce right in the middle. They can both be the 16th best quarterback in football.
I was going to say I can't wait until the NFL quarterback tiers for Mike Sando in August, where it's like, ugh. Just the because he does like a line graph of where guys have been ranked.
Yeah, and. And it's closer than we ever thought it would be after year one, unfortunately. Let's get to a couple more calls before we go to break. Let's get to Sonny, SMU Sonny. He's got a TV show. What's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm actually predicting that Arch Manning is going to cut his hair at some point, and that will take him to the next level. Just wanted to mention that. I guess it's kind of a trademark for him, but I feel like he's going to go to the next level and cut it short and then really be on his game. But anyway, Dell, I wanted to call and see. I think that that you've talked about the show and recommended it, but are you watching Industry this season?
I am. I don't understand much of what they're talking about as far as the financial stuff, but the interpersonal stuff, as far as the characters, I'm in on. I don't watch them week by week. I'll maybe wait a week and then watch two on the same night. But yeah, I'm in on it. What do you think about it?
Okay, cool. Yeah, this season's been awesome, and I think the finale Sunday. Really, really good show. And that Max Minghala, I think is his name. That guy's an awesome actor, and Kit Harington's been really good. So. I don't know. I think maybe I heard you wreck it, I'm all about it. It's been really good. So, I mean, I didn't know if you had any predictions before the finale without spoiling the show, but I would love to get a recap after this season or something to talk about it. But then the other one, I saw Crime 101 with Chris Hemsworth in the theater, and that movie's awesome. Have you seen that one?
I haven't. Did Michael Carroll see it and talk about it? I don't remember last week.
Yeah, I think Michael Carroll saw it, and I also saw it.
So,
I agree, Sonny. It's a Good movie.
I'm going to get to that one. Yeah. Appreciate it, Sonny, for the call. Yeah, once industry's over, we'll certainly talk about it. I don't know if I have a prediction for the show. It doesn't feel like one of those prediction shows. I mean, the show ended with the two lead female characters nearly passed out because they spend a night at the bar, at the club in the latest episode. Kind of wrecked before their big moment, so we'll see how it goes. They have a interesting one where they kind of hate each other and they kind of love each other at the same time, so we'll see how their interactions end. I would agree, it's probably Kit Harington's best thing he's done since Game of Thrones.
Oh, since Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I was ready for the zag. No, I was ready for the big.
No, best thing he's done since, season 7 of Game of Thrones, then, if you want that.
No, I thought you were going to go, like, he's better in this than he is Jon Snow.
No, that'll be his
time will tell.
Yeah, if the Jon Snow spinoff ever happens where he wants to depress everyone, maybe I'll have a different opinion about his Game of Thrones work. but I will stick with Jon Snow.
Yeah, okay.
As Pete Kit, but he does good work there. The other guy you mentioned, Max Minghella, is going to be in Clayface, so that'll warm Eric's heart.
Okay.
He's going to be in that movie. I don't know if he's playing Clayface, but he'll be in it.
Arch Manning cutting his hair. Sure. Work for Quinn Ewers.
Does he go taper?
Work for Quinn Ewers, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think he goes to Tyler Hero's barber.
I don't think Arch is ready for that sharp of an edge up.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a tradition for Texas quarterbacks to cut your hair after 1 year.
The Manning family informs him he's got to get a haircut for the job interviews he's going to do, combine, yeah. Talking to teams. You think it happens then?
I mean, I think that training is that's been happening since he was in the crib.
Yeah.
How to impress a GM of an NFL team.
I think so, too. I think that haircut comes right after Texas' season ends this
Great
year.
Great guy, by the way.
I don't really hear Sark mention that very much, honestly. Yeah. Didn't even mention it.
Towards the beginning of the season, he was a great kid.
I was trying to think. Did he even
towards mention, the end of the season, he was a great player.
Yeah, I was trying to think. Did he say it after the Ohio State game even? Trust me.
Maybe Florida.
Maybe after. He played better in the second half. Maybe didn't even have to say it then. Great guy, Arch Manning. Great player, more important to most people. We'll get to one more call because I see Eric wants to talk about Scream 7, so we can save that for the other side. Let's get to Keith. Thanks, SMU Sonny, for calling in. Keith, what's up?
Hey, guys. NFL draft on my mind. Wanted to take a little peek at the Dallas Cowboys. You know, they acquired the extra first-round pick with the Micah Parsons deal. They got two of the top 20 picks, which is key. I think, you know, with the Pickens tag, they have to go double defense. If you're the Cowboys and you were to somehow have a dream scenario of getting Sonny Styles at 12 and maybe the stud cornerback out of Tennessee, I know he's hurt, Jermaine McCoy at 20, how would you feel about that? And also, what happened to Logan Wilson? He's averaging 90 tackles a year for his first 6 years in the league, and suddenly, like, the Bengals and Cowboys don't want him, and he can't find playing time. But I think Styles and McCoy would be a dream scenario for Dallas.
Well, what happened to Logan Wilson? He's nearly 30 years old, playing interior linebacker.
That is tough.
That can be an issue for him.
Yeah, I agree. Double defense.
Yeah, for the Cowboys.
Yeah,
go find yourself a pass rusher and someone who can cover.
Yep,
that'd be good for them.
Edge and DB.
Yeah,
that's what they.
I don't know if Sonny Styles is their guy. Maybe Reuben Bain is there and they love him. Who knows? But a pass rusher.
That'd be sick if they got Bain.
Yeah.
They'd be so stoked.
So a pass rusher, affect the quarterback and cover receivers. Yeah. The Cowboys were pretty bad at both last year.
Also, Keith, Javon Carter, pretty good last night.
He did give Albert and Goon more trouble than I thought he should have on occasion when they got the switch.
Yeah,
did not help them win because, you know what? Reach effort. So, yes, Javon Carter, you were advocating for him, but look what happened.
Yeah.
If he was on the roster, he may would certainly play him, and he'd be a progress stopper.
Javon Carter looks like a phantom until a phantom pulls up.
This is what we're talking about. Thank you, Cat Sean Mapes Williams. We'll go to break with
that. That's the only quote I'll do of Cat Williams.
Yeah, there's the only one you could do, actually, and still keep, well, anything. We'll get to Eric when we come back. He wants to talk about Scream 7 with Michael. Very controversial film, considering they got rid of the stars of that revamped series and then brought back one of the old stars. Sometimes not even sometimes. Politics just gets in the way of your career. Happened to the Starscream 6 and 5. Now they have to lean on Lev Campbell. Eric, anyone else? 713-780-3776 gets a chance to talk to Michael when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll is here with us, the host of Comicast. He hosts That Podcast with John Lee. You can hear that podcast right here on ESPN 97.5 on Wednesdays. And also, wherever you listen to podcasts, Michael, we had the season finale of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny at the end when Egg and Dunk were talking. There was a new title for a little bit inside the episode. Was six episodes done?
There's what? There's nine?
Yeah, that was a bit of a conversation at the very end. With six episodes done and season two certainly already in production, we'll get that next year. And mm-hmm. we are just a couple months now away from House of the Dragon coming back.
Yep.
Where do we stand? At least where do you stand with the Game of Thrones universe? And what did you think of the season finale?
Oh, I liked it. We talked about it a bit on this latest issue of Comicast. But both Jong and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was we figured it would be a come down after episode five's reaching the highs that it did in terms of drama and whatnot and action and all that. But I think it was a strong character focused thing. It gets back to a bit of the comedy towards the end, especially like at the beginning with Lionel Baratheon and the Maester, but it balanced those tones really well. And it still told it's as much an origin story for Dunk and Egg as it is an origin story for Duncan becoming a true hedge knight and being disillusioned with knighthood and working with princes and all that. Like, as he says, I'm done with princes. And I appreciated those aspects of learning why Dunk goes on the journey that he goes on. And it for me, not having read the novellas or anything like that, so I don't know what they're hinting at, but to now see that he's just going to be a hedge knight, I'm curious how he gets those four pages in the book. Famous like hero's book or something like that.
Yeah, it is the Kingsguard's book.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of the things of several that are spoilers in the OG series, mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, where Sir Duncan is mentioned. Of course, years later, we find out, we get the story of his origins. But even in Game of Thrones, there are mentions of him. Joffrey, in a scene where he's going through the Kingsguard's book, talks about how Sir Duncan got four pages. So he does go from hedge knight to one of the more renowned knights of history. And of course that the show will kind of lead us there in some ways. Although because it's George R.R. Martin, he has not written to the point where he becomes a member of the Kingsguard, I believe. Or maybe he does, but not fully. There are multiple stories he can get to. He just hasn't done it because it's what George R.R. Martin does.
Yeah, that's also true. But I'm glad that I think it's Ira Parker and the rest of the showrunners and creatives are working directly with him.
Yeah.
And even if they do get past a point where there is no written material, he's still going to be very much involved, unlike the other one.
Yeah, because I think from what I could tell, because I've tried to avoid as many spoilers as possible, some of it is Duncan reflecting on what he went through. So I do think we know, certainly beyond just the spoilers in Game of Thrones, that he does reflect on his time and from the point of being a member of the Kingsguard, I think. So we know that much about him. We'll see what the journey is as we go forward. No, the plans are kind of widespread and kind of, I feel like, just because how TV works, unrealistic, because the creator, it wants to do like them now and then Egg as a grown man with Dunk and then Dunk as an older man as well. So he was like talking multiple, maybe a decade long.
Yeah,
show.
There's logistically, I don't know how they're going to do it. But
I guess you could do it like The Crown, where you get different actors at some point to do it, play the same roles.
Possibly so. So I don't know if they'll be able to do all that. But what they've established so far this season has been good. And it could go in a multitude of directions. There was someone, I forget who it was that I follow that posted a video about, there's a raven or a crow that caws at the end of episode 6, and I forget the Easter egg, but it's like some kind of like, oh, this character may pop up because of the ties to Duncan and all that.
Got it.
And more of the mystical side of
like Blood Game Raven
of Thrones. Yeah,
like
Blood
that.
Raven or yeah. something like that. So it's interesting directions it could go. And my guess, too, is that with what we know with Maekar and Egg at the end of this season, my guess is Duncan and Egg go on their own adventure next season. By the end of it, Maekar is on their trails
to find them. Yeah,
is you, my guess.
If you go by the after credit scene, I guess.
Yes.
The addendum to the final episode of the season. So that is A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, and then of course in June, no actual date, but we know it's in June. House of the Dragon mm-hmm. season 3 is ready to go, and as we talked about last week, the teaser suggests a lot of war. A lot of fighting and people dying, which is what people wanted at the end of season 2 and did not get. Let's get to a couple calls, and then we'll get into the bulk of Michael's Rex, or maybe telling you not to go watch something. Let's get to Eric first. He wants to talk about Scream 7. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Michael. Yeah, Eric, Scream 7 is pretty good, but I kind of want to boycott it because of Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega. Also, have you seen the crime shows, Jury Duty, and I think another one's coming up called Company Retreat? The trailers look pretty good. And did you know they're introducing a gay Klingon character? Why do they always have to be black or Latino in space? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, what's more abrasive, my dislike for aliens in Star Wars properties or what Eric just did?
That's a good question.
No, it's not. Of course it's what he just did. How dare you? Yes, Company Retreat. I saw the trailer for that. Season 2 of Jury Duty.
Have you watched that show?
I have not watched season 1. I saw the trailer come across my timeline for Jury Duty season 2. The premise is there's one person who is not an actor in the show. Everybody else is a paid actor, and they set up a scenario kind of like the Truman Show, but uh-huh. more ridiculous.
Kind of like the, what was it, Joe Schmo back in the day?
Maybe something like that.
Something like where everyone was in on it except for the one guy.
So, yeah. Of course, I don't know if we ever will get the behind the scenes of how they convinced this guy to let his life be on after they tricked him mm-hmm. for the better course of however many weeks he was on the show. But Jury Duty Season 2 comes out on Prime, called Company Retreat. As far mm-hmm. as Scream 7, I alluded to it when we went to break, that yes, the big cast members, Jenna Ortega, Melissa Barrera, not in the show. I think Jenna Ortega did it in solidarity.
Yeah.
Melissa Barrera.
As well as the director who directed Scream 6. Neither of them
in this movie. Melissa Barrera had comments about the conflict in Gaza that mm-hmm. upset certain decision makers, so she did not return. She most recently was in the Simu Liu show. It's on Peacock. I forgot what it is.
Copenhagen Test.
The whole Copenhagen Test. Yeah, that's the last thing I've seen her in. That premiered earlier this year or late mm-hmm. last year. Yeah, so Scream 7. It's Eric, so I don't know even how much to get into what he's talking about. But that is the thing. Whether he's actually going to
boycott it,
who can be certain, because it is Eric. But Neve Campbell will take a more prominent role in this one.
Yeah, they brought her back for this one. They rewrote the script to include her and I think some other characters that they didn't have in Scream 6. This one, I think it's pretty split. It's one of those, if you're a fan of the series, you'll probably enjoy it. That's what I've seen.
Critics are not fans.
Hate it.
Yeah.
Critics hate it. 37% with critics right now, 76% with audiences. I do want to read Patrick Moore, who's a reviewer here for Pop Culture Kick and Irish Film Critic. He messaged me last night because he just watched it, and he said, quote, worst in the series.
Wow.
Completely forgettable, no memorable set pieces, basically zero reason to exist. And he finished it by saying, soulless franchise taxidermy.
Okay.
Wild.
Now, before they made the casting changes, they were leading to a point where Melissa Barrera's character, who is the daughter of one of the original killers, they were leading to her likely reverting to her, I guess, her legacy and becoming a killer. That seemed like where they were going. They had to revamp it, and apparently didn't do a good job of it.
Well, and again, this is for critics, not a fan. And they don't like the revamp that they've done, and they think it's a lot of them, of what I've understood, is that they see it as dull, as being just basically what made Scream inventive in the beginning. The formula has become super dull, and now that you revert back to what it was with Nev Campbell. Nothing against Nev Campbell and some of the other ones; they're good, but it's just like the core of what you were trying to do in Scream 6, you were reverting back, and it's two steps back instead of two steps forward.
Yeah, both 5 and 6 Rotten Tomatoes scores of over 75%. Mm-hmm. Now Scream 7, box office wise, doing well according to Deadline.
It's going to do it. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, fans,
franchise record stuff.
Fans are going to be all about it, especially with the inclusion of Nev Campbell back into the fold. And again, from what I've heard from fans, this is a movie I didn't get a press screening for or anything like that, so I'm just basing it off what I've understood from friends and others. But fans of the series really enjoyed it. And I think if you're a fan of the series, you're going to enjoy it this weekend. But maybe temper expectations in some ways.
Yeah, and they have a couple people who were part of 5 and 6 back. I guess you would say the Meeks Martin twins, I guess. Were they twins or just brother and sister? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
But they're back from it. This gentleman here, I don't know if his sister was a twin, but they're back. So that's a bit of a connection if you like 5 and 6. Let's get to Chris, and then we'll go to break, and then we'll – actually, you know what, Chris, hold on. Let's go to break here. Chris, we'll take your call, and then we'll hear from Michael on what he thinks you should watch. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
Okay, here's the plan, because David, you called in. I see you. We'll get to you. We'll get to Chris, then we'll get to Michael's reviews, and we'll get to you, David, before we're done. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. Love the segment. It gives me something to watch every weekend to be My question was, I know this movie came out probably about a week ago. It's like an animation movie. I was looking to take my sons to the movie this weekend. I was wanting to see if Michael Carroll seen that movie. I believe it's called Goat.
Yeah.
I appreciate the feedback on it. And thanks. I hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Chris.
I like that one. I did watch that one, Chris. And I'd definitely take your kid to go see that. Take your son to see that this weekend. It's a fun one, especially for the kids. Especially if you're into basketball culture. It's a love letter to basketball culture. It's a little bit more skews towards younger audiences, but still, it's a fun watch. I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah, if we go by the reviews, critics and fans have liked Goat. We talked about it a little bit here. Caleb McLaughlin, star of Stranger Things, and also David Harbour's in there as well. Steph Curry, you'll hear him.
Gabrielle Union.
Aaron Pierre. You're going to recognize some of the voices, even though they're masked by cartoon characters, but you're going to recognize
it's,
their voices.
It's one of the better animated movies. I mean, I think it's another Sony Pictures animation, not nearly on the level of some of their other stuff, but still very good. And I definitely recommend seeing it, especially for families.
Let's get to some other things you might recommend to see, and then we'll get to David before we wrap it up.
Well, there's not much in terms of the theater this weekend. There's, as we mentioned, Scream 7, which if you're a fan, maybe go see that. Epic, the Elvis Presley concert movie that's available 96% with critics, 99% with audiences. That's a documentary, you know, musical performance. So especially for Elvis fans out there. And then the Revenant 10th anniversary re-release is available this weekend in theaters. A lot of smaller films, but those are the main ones I wanted to highlight. In terms of streaming, it's a little bit busier. You had a movie I saw earlier this week, The Bluff. Have you seen this movie?
Is that the one with
Priyanka Chopra Jonas,
yeah,
and Carl Urban?
Yeah, it's been promoted pretty heavily on Prime when I'm on there.
It's basically a pirate action movie is the best way I can explain it. A former seafarer raider played by Priyanka Chopra Jonas, who she plays Bloody Mary, formerly known as Bloody Mary, after escaping a violent past, has found peace, but then idyllic existence comes to an end when a menacing captain whom Ursel worked for, Carl Urban, shows up and seeks revenge. Go for the action stories, whatever. Just, I mean, it's over-the-top action, muskets firing, some kind of like sword fighting martial art-esque, but it's pirates, you know, it's just...
And isn't like, I guess, her reason for being is like she has a daughter. Is that what... Is that the trailer or a son? I don't know.
She has a son, okay. And she's looking after her son and sister-in-law.
Okay.
And it's trying to keep them safe from Carl Urban and the rest of his pirates that show up.
Got it.
When you talk about backstory and character motivations, it's a little thin, especially like when Carl Urban reveals what he's trying, like his ultimate goal that he was kind of keeping hidden from the rest of his pirate gang, if you will. It's like, why didn't you just tell him? I don't understand why you kept it a big secret.
You can't keep secrets from pirate underlings.
But just stay for the action. It's just insane action with cannon fire and muskets and Carl Urban's character. I forget his name. He has a revolver.
Captain Connor.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry, Captain Connor. He has a revolver that's not a like six shot. It's like a 12 shot. And nice. It's got a little knife that pops out at the end. Just as, you know, as pirates do.
Yeah, it's piratey.
Ursel, who she has like this knife, like there's all these gadgets that I was not expecting.
Is this a period piece or
is it steampunk pirates?
Wild Wild West meets pirates?
Maybe. I hadn't thought about that, but maybe. Okay. But not as much steampunky as that was.
Yeah.
This is just pirates that have come up with stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, just keeping your family safe. It's very much revenge thriller like a Jason Statham or something like that.
Nice. Got it.
You know, so there you go. The Bluff. It's available on Prime Video. 68% with critics, 73% with audiences. Yeah.
It's right in Sean's wheelhouse, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Honestly, it sounds like the plot to the movie Shelter, Jason Statham movie that came out like 2 weeks ago.
Kind of, but with pirates.
So similar.
Set in 19th century with pirates and boats. Okay. You know, you got that. And a dude gets blown up with a cannon. So there you go. Nice. Monarch Legacy of Monsters Season 2 comes out today.
This is what we're about.
Apple TV, 80% with critics right now. This is a series I've been waiting for the longest. This thing premiered back in 2023.
It's been a while,
and I'm very excited to see where this new season goes with the drama that it's coming. Of course, it's a new entry into the MonsterVerse, and it's also introducing a seemingly new Titan to the mix. But I think my guess is, especially if like you're a nerd like me, it's Bylanta from the old movies and old you know, iterations of Godzilla. That's the character or the monster that it looks like. But it's a great cast returning yet again. And Amber Midthunder, Cliff Curtis, and a few others are introduced this season.
I know there's some time elements that we saw at the very end of season one. Now that I try to remember what happened 3 years ago.
That's the key part.
As far as where we are set, are we set after the most recent Godzilla Kong movie?
No, I think it's before... It's before that. It's after 2014 and maybe after 2019.
Okay, so we haven't moved that far.
I don't think Kong is yet into like all that stuff.
Got it.
Kong will be involved.
Kong's not active yet.
Yeah, because
I see him on the poster. So I'm assuming I was trying to think: have Kong and Godzilla already collabed?
I don't think so. Just because they go to Skull Island in this season, and I think it's Godzilla Kong. They say something about it's
wiped away. Are
we going to
see what's his name? He was a military man, a comedic actor. He lost his mind because he was on Skull Island.
Oh.
Are we going to see him in this?
John C. Reilly?
Or a younger version of John C. Reilly in this?
Maybe. The time options allow for some weirdness to happen.
Maybe we just see a shot of Brie Larson and Samuel Jackson in the background for some reason.
Tom Hiddleston show up?
Yeah.
Most expensive episode they've ever made.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it took 3 years to get this thing off the ground. But I can't wait to check this one out. New episodes premiere every Friday, so the first one's out right now on Apple TV. Are y'all fans of Scrubs? Are y'all... So-so. I mean, I had to look it up. The last time the show was on air was December 2009. I was still an intern here at ESPN 975 when this show last premiered.
And we're back.
And we're back for season one or season 10.
I don't know what Zach Braff's plans were, but if a movie career had gone better, do we think we're getting this?
No, of course not.
I mean, I can see Donald Faison. I can see Donald Faison going anytime, buddy. But, you know, Zach Braff was with Florence Pugh. That has ended. Maybe say, you know what? I got to feel good. I need to feel good about myself.
People 100% saw the T-Mobile commercial.
Yeah,
like,
and knew this.
Why don't we do this again?
We like these guys.
Yeah, let's do this one more time. You know what? I promised Dave we get to him. Let's get to him. He's held on. David, what's up?
Hey, guys. So a lot of people don't realize that Scream is based on a actual true story, at least the first one. But I digress. My original question is, I'm hearing reboots of the X-Files, and I want to find out if that is true, because I have seen every single movie, every single episode. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, Ryan Coogler.
Yeah.
He wants to bring back the X-Files. In fact, I think it's partly because his mother loved the
show. Yeah, I believe so. It's very familiar to him. But yes, a reboot is coming of the series. When it'll premiere, I'm not sure, because I think it's just beginning pre-production. They started casting.
They announced that Hulu gave it a reboot.
Yeah,
right. Hulu gave it the pilot, so the pilot will be on Hulu, and I guess the series will be as well.
Danielle
Deadwyler.
She's going to be one of the stars. So, X-Files reboot is coming, but Ryan Coogler writing it and all that and being involved, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, as far as what David references with Scream, based off the Gainesville Ripper.
Oh, see, I have no idea.
Who murdered 5 students in Florida 6 years before Scream became a movie. So,
that's depressing.
If you want to go down the dark path to Scream, if you thought, you thought you were having fun at the movies, go look into the Gainesville Ripper.
I'm sure there's a true crime doc on it.
Yeah, I imagine there is. In fact, it's called The Real Story, Scream. It's an episode of television.
There we go.
There it is.
I'm going to go to Godzilla instead.
Oh, well.
You know, that was based off of a real thing that happened.
Of course it was. Yeah. Well, all right. Yeah, I do know.
Less
monster.
There's also documentaries about that.
Yeah, there's, yeah.
Yes. A movie.
Godzilla Minus One. Certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly, if you want a less, Americanized version of the Godzilla story.
This
Godzilla
is sad now. One.
Well,
sorry.
This is sad. Sometimes reality invades our willingness to, delve into fantasy. It just happens sometimes. Michael Carroll hosts a comic cast. He does that podcast with Jong Lee. You can hear it every Wednesday. Unless the A&M Aggies get in the way. You can hear it on Wednesdays.
We'll be back next Wednesday.
There it is. There, but also, if you want to avoid a possible preemption, you can listen to it in podcast form.
Download the podcast. You
listen to podcasts, that is Comcast. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you,
Sean. Since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
Flip me over, Mike.
You did that earlier this week.
I did.
We'll talk to you on Monday.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.